and get other people to hear the message of God. One thing there is today is a famine of hearing of the Word of God. And you can hear all kinds of things. I'll just tell you right now, you can go anywhere and hear about anything you want to hear. But today we want to preach from the Word of God, Matthew chapter 12. And I'll read about five verses here real quick, starting in verse number 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching. Notice that word preaching. God chose preaching. They repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen, this is our text verse here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I want to preach today on when the queen met the king. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your Word. Lord, in this day when there's more fake news, more lies than there is truth, like that song Sister Debbie sung, Lord, people are just, they want to do anything and get away with it. They don't, no one want to find truth. They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to even think truthful things. They just want to do what they want, when they want, however they want. Nobody speak against it. Lord, we know a day of judgment's coming. We know the judgment's going to be put to the plummet line. And we know, Lord, it's going to be a fearful day when they stand giving account of that sinful wickedness, Lord, this living that's promoted today, when they call evil good, when they call good evil. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, that you saw us in that mess. And Lord, you saved us and forgave us. And Lord, you straightened us out, put us on a street called straight. And now, Lord, we make straight steps with our feet. We walk in the light. You're in the light. We fellowship with you. And you're the truth, the way, and the only way. Lord, you said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by you. Bless our efforts today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be preaching about the Queen of Sheba. But before I do, I want to mention just a little bit about Jonah real quick. Now, it says here that Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. Now, I do a lot of Facebooking. I'm sure some of y'all know something about Facebooking. But on there, somebody said, no one can make me believe that a man could live for 3 days and 3 nights in a whale's belly. Who said he was alive? Show me that in the Bible. Show me where it said Jonah was alive in the whale's belly. You show me. Because it's not in there. He's dead, I believe. Now, I can't even prove that. But I know one thing. In that whale's belly, he had a conversation. And the conversation centered around faith. And God honored it. And God spoke to that whale and it said, Jonah on dry ground. Didn't take him long to get to Nineveh neither. But anyway, who said he was alive? Amen. Now, I'm reading here the New Testament, and our text verse here is about the Queen of Sheba. She came from the south. She came a long way. Matter of fact, she came to criticize Solomon. She came with great scrutiny, but also she came also with, she was seeking. She came out of great a desire to seek and find truth. And I know I'm reading New Testament, and I know nobody wants to mention Old Testament no more, but we're going to go to the Old Testament and get some clarity about this comment Jesus made about the Queen of Sheba. And in 1 Kings chapter number 10, the Bible talks about this queen. It talks about her name being the Queen of Sheba. She was queen of great authority, of great wealth. But she heard about this man called Solomon. And when she heard about the fame of this man called Solomon, she come a long journey just to meet him. Now, she had heard about him, and people hear about you, and you'll never know what all has been told about you. But the Bible says, let your light so shine before this world, and people will come to you. Glorify your Father. I'll give you an example of that. When I first got saved, I may have had too much light, but I know one thing, I had a little light. I had enough light that I went to a revival meeting out at a Beach Grove Baptist Church right down the road out here. And after that revival meeting, I kind of got suckered into something. A man there, his name was Sam Harper. And Sam Harper come to me after that revival meeting. Of course, I shouted like I do at every meeting. I praise God, I still ain't got over it. But anyway, he come to me and he said, Eddie, he said, you work with my son-in-law, or my stepson. Yeah, he said, you work with my stepson. And he had married I could spit her name out if I wasn't trying to think of it. But this is her son that he mentioned to me. He said, you work with him. And he said, I want you to talk to him about getting saved. Now, I mean, I'm just telling you, that just kind of hook, line, and sinkered me into this deal here. I just got saved, and I did love the Lord, but I wasn't real private on how to tell somebody how to be saved. I wanted to, but I just like Tommy said, I hadn't really grown a whole lot, but I was growing, and I hadn't really done a whole lot, but I was doing what I could. But anyway, I went out there at work out there, and I prayed. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I told Sam when he told me that, I said, you pray for me. God will give me an opportunity, and I will. And I really didn't think much about anything really coming of that. And the next day I went to work and I'm sitting there reading my Bible like every saved person ought to be doing. And all of a sudden I looked up and here comes this boy walking by. His name is Mark Fisher. Tommy knows him. Yeah. And Mark Fisher walked by and I said, when he walked by, I said, Lord, there he goes. I'm sitting in a non-smoking break room. I'm reading my Bible and Mark's going out there because he smokes and he wants to go out there and smoke a cigarette, you know. And I said, Lord, there he goes. Well, to my amazement, he turned around and came back. And I thought, oh me, what am I going to say? Well, he sat down right across the table in front of me. I'm the only one in there. I got a Bible right there in front of me. And I'm trying to think, Lord, how do I start this? What do I say before I could even get a word out? Mark Fisher said, I want what you got. Well, that's kind of what this is all about. She wanted what he had. She'd heard about it. She come seeking about it. And you know what? When you let the light shine, there'll be a lot of people come out of the darkness and say, tell me about it. What happened? Paul got to give his testimony everywhere he went. But oh, listen. It'll cause people to come a long journey. And they want to find out why you didn't take that candy bar. They want to find out why you felt uncomfortable hauling that load of beer down the road. And they'll ask a lot of questions. And this woman did. She asked him some hard questions. She said, I want to know what makes you like you are. And you know, it all just kind of fits together here. Notice here in verse 1, she heard and she came. Also in verse 1, it said she came to prove him with hard questions. Now you'll get a lot of hard questions. I remember I was teaching Sunday school, and I had 10-year-olds there in my class, and guys passed the church today. Brent Spillman out there, a little Bethel Baptist church. He raised his hand up. Little 10-year-old Brent Spillman said, Brother Eddie, how do we know we're going to like it when we get to heaven? I thought, that's been my question. I said, well, Brent, you like it down here? He said, yeah. I said, it's far better than there. Amen. Hey, I got out of that pretty quick. But look here. She come with hard questions. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, to be ready always to give an answer to every man ask you a question of the hope that's in you. Listen, you might not get it all together right, but you can get somewhat right about what you say. I mean, that blind man said, I don't know how he opened my eyes, but I do know one thing, I'm blind now, see, I'm going to be so strong after, amen. Woo! Couldn't even get a grunt here today, hallelujah. She come with hard questions. She wanted to know, hey, I want to know how you come to be. How did you reach this famous fame that I've come seeking? And you know what? Verse number 3 says that Solomon answered every one of her questions. You see that? Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. He answered every one of them. Boy, ain't that good? You can take time. Tommy's holding people to look at you and say, I've got a minute. I need to talk to you. It's good to slow down. Yeah. I mean, I know we go to and fro, not really going nowhere, and people pass you, run you off the road.
That's right.
We just need to slow down. Take time to be holy. Take time, pass the torch. Speak plainly. Plain. And the next point, why I say plain. He answered all of her questions. If you notice verse 2, she brought a very great train. She brought many with her. You never know when that one grain of corn is going to bring 60 or 100 fold of fruit. You never know. Debbie talked about her and Tommy talked about their little girl, Cora, being raised up in church. She get out there and she'd dance. You never know what that one vessel is going to be.
That's right.
That's going to carry this message. That's going to take care of this treasure that needs to be told about what great things the Lord has done. God, He cast a legion of demons out of a man, and the man now, instead of being naked and cutting himself and crying and living among the dead in the tombs, hey, he's clothed in his right mind. And he says, Jesus, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, go home to your family and your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done.
Right.
We need to do that. You never know when that woman's going to bring a heartfold, amen,
right,
into the family of God. We carry this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels. I got a little treasure in here. I like it when they dig it out. Woo! I'm telling you, buddy, I got a little treasure in me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, listen, she brought many with her. And that's good. You reach that one. I'll tell you, she might reach a much. That woman in John 4, she trying to sneak to Jacob's well and get a drink. And Jesus sitting there waiting on her. She went back to the city of Samaria and brought the whole town down. You never know who that one is.
That's right.
Oh, listen, queen met the king. You notice she brought the best that she had with her. By the way, success is no substitute for salvation. That rich young ruler come to Jesus, but he had it all except one thing. One thing, life is not. That one thing eat you up in hell. What would it cost the man if he gained the whole world? Lost his soul. That's not much of a profit. I tell you right now, that's a great loss. That's worst case scenario. I'm telling you, that's what Jesus said. If your hand was going to cause you to go to hell, cut it off. He said if your eye was going to cause you to go to hell, pluck it out. He said, bird, I'm telling you, if your foot was going to cause you to go to hell, cut it off. He wasn't kidding. Hell was that bad place.
Right.
God made it for one person. Matthew 25:41 said God prepared hell for the devil and his angel. It's only one that ought to be there. But sadly, that devil's dragging a bunch with him. And more so than not. But success, and she had great success. She brought spices. She brought gold. She brought precious stones. I'm telling you, buddy, she come with a great train with camels. And she's very wealthy. She's very powerful. She's the queen of Sheba. But now she meets the king. And she gave him all of these treasures. And you know what? That's kind of like you and me. We think that we can do some good thing. We think that somehow or another, I was talking to my son this morning, and he's the one God used to get me in church, get me saved, and he's kind of out in the far country, and I just really was talking to my daughter about sacrificing to the dead. He overheard that conversation I had with her, and he said, what's that mean? I said, well, there's only two categories of people, Bobby. I said, there's people that belong to the devil. There's people that belong to God. I said, there's no middle ground. He said, oh yeah, there is. I said, no, they're not, buddy. I said, if you've not been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, you not only belong to the devil, but you're going to hell. And you know, a lot of people, they put it any way you want to put it. That's pretty much it. You're either light or dark. And you know, what fellowship has light with darkness, what concord has Christ with Baal. I'm telling you, buddy, only two categories. You got one bunch going to heaven and another bunch going to hell. But her filthy rags of all of her success, all of her wealth, I'm sure it looked good, all her riches. You know, gets a lot of people mixed up. I've talked to people about time, they said, I don't see no need getting saved. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you're doing pretty good right now, but when you're on life support and you're incoherent, people can't even talk to you.
Right.
You can't even answer them. You move a finger or squeeze a hand. You're not doing too good then. That's why the Bible said, now is the accepted time. Today is the day. Tomorrow's only on the calendar of fools. Boast not of tomorrow. You know not what a day may bring. You might pillow your head tonight. You might not wake up tomorrow. That's why I pillow my head and say, Lord, if I've done anything, I want you to forgive me. I want you to fellowship with me while I'm sleeping. And I want you to be there when I wake up in the morning because I want to spend some time with you. I don't get up and run out of the house. I take time with the Lord. Amen. Oh, listen, she brought the best she had. It was nothing but filthy rags with regards to having any effect on her standing with God. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, that there's none righteous, no, not one. Matter of fact, the Bible said in Romans 3, verse 23, that we're all just sinners, hell-deserving sinners. There's no gain of this world that will profit you anything when it comes to eternity. But oh, listen, here's my favorite point in this whole message. It's going to work out just right. She believed the report. Now you can tell a lot of people a lot of things. You give them a tract. You can tell them I'll be praying for you. But until they believe what you told them, until they receive that truth that you told them, they don't change. But oh, listen, she believed that report.
Amen.
Now I'll tell you why she believed.
How about that?
The Bible said she saw as he ascended up to the temple of the Lord, she saw him go to church. I got a feeling he wasn't like us dried up Baptists. That you know, like going to a funeral home and trying to figure out some way to make an excuse for that. I believe he went up like, woo! I'm going to get to go to church today. She saw him. She saw the way he made his ascension up to the temple, up to the house of God, the fellowship of God. She saw him maybe singing, woo! Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, thank you for loving me. Maybe she saw him stop every now and then and just go, woo! I tell you one day, she saw the way he went to church. I want people, when they see the way I go to church, I want them not make no mistake. I want them to take note I've been with Jesus. Amen. I mean, they see me dragging the Bible around, that's one thing. They see me read my Bible, that's another thing. They see me going to church, I want them to know why I'm going. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise God, sing these songs, and hear great things about it. Amen. People testify and say, praise God. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. Amen. She saw him go to church. There'll be a lot of people watch you go to church. Hey, listen. And you know, when people see you go to church, I don't know if it leaves a bad taste in their mouth or not. Maybe they think you're a hypocrite. Maybe they think you ought to do something different. But I'll tell you right now, when she saw him go to church, she said the hath ain't been told. Amen. She saw the happiness of his men. The Bible says in Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Yeah, happy is that people that's with Jesus. I see these people all the time. They've got a smile turned upside down. They say, I love the Lord. A little boy went to church, come home, got God all over him. His daddy said, son, you didn't get nothing. He's just too happy. He said, you're just too happy. You didn't get nothing. The little boy went out of the house. The bird was singing. He said, bird, you didn't get nothing. He went down there and the dog there was fighting the cat. And there was a fight. He said, y'all didn't get nothing. And he walked on out there. And I mean, here's all kind of things. Just happy that goat lady. He got out there at the barn. A big mule stuck his head out of the barn. And had that old look of unhappiness. He said, oh boy, you got it. And you know what? She didn't see that with these men. She saw them happy. She saw them praising God. And she said, the hath not been told.
Amen.
Verse number 8. That's where that comes from. Verse number 5 is where she saw his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. Verse 6, she said, it was a true report that I heard. Boy, listen, when somebody puts you in the spotlight, does it line up? I mean, look, is there any great area there? I mean, does it line up? It's kind of like a compass, you know? The Lord's kind of like a compass. He'll only lead you in one direction. That's the amazing thing about a compass. He only points in one direction. Points north, no matter what. Well, the Lord's kind of like a compass. He only points you in one direction. But, oh, listen, verse 13, my last thought here. It said, and she returned to her own country. And the reason she went back is because her mission was accomplished. She was satisfied. She said the half wasn't told. She said, I saw him go to church. I saw his men happy. I saw the wealth of God, the blessing of God dripping off everything he had. And what he's got, what we need, amen. She took the report back home with her. Amen. Oh, listen, today and time, I know we're living in the dry. I know the green's gone. I know these are dry times. I know you couldn't get a tear trickle down cheek for nothing. But listen, when the queen met the king, she looked no further. Her mission was accomplished. She met the king and she said, I finally found the one I've been looking for. I think she married him, too. I think she said, I don't want no one but him here on now. I've been looking and looking and looking. You know, my granddaughter, she'll be 14 and 2 months, scaring me to death. And I'm praying, and I say, Lord, I wish you'd find a good, solid, saved preacher. It caused my granddaughters to marry. I got two of them, one's older. And I worry more about her than little. And that little one, I can jump around on her. I said, Lord, lead a good, saved, good Bible preaching preacher that'll protect them, that'll provide for them, that'll love them, and respect them. I said, Lord, I won't settle for nothing less. Nothing less. I pray for a murder, brother. God, hook them up. I don't want to come down with something I have. I don't know how to make the Holy Spirit keep them. Pick them up and slap them, you know what I mean? I'm pretty tolerant. I'm pretty compassionate. But there's just some things I can't take. My wife can fill you in on that real good. And you know, I try. I'm working on that. I'm having a hard go at it. I like my granddaughter to say, Pop, I want you to meet my future husband. He's a Baptist preacher. Hey, he's good and saved. Bless the Lord. I say, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. I believe this Queen of Sheba, when she met this king, I believe she went back kind of like that woman there in John chapter 4 and said, come see a man. Told me all things. Boy, I tell you what, he answered all her questions. He satisfied her quest. She's seeking no more. Her journey has been ended when she met Solomon, the king. Solomon was a great king. Only asked for one thing, was wisdom. God help us get some of that. Amen. I mean, I'll tell you what. The Bible said the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I got a little bit of that. So I got more wisdom I have when I was lost. But the fear of the Lord, it brings wisdom. Before I got that wisdom, Brother John, I was living like I had eternity down here. Now I'm convinced of the fact that one day the obituary is going to have old Brother Eddie in it. The good thing is I'm ready for it.
Amen.
I'm ready. Hey, death can no longer lay no claim to old Brother Eddie. No grave can have no more victory beside right. Old Brother Eddie. I said it long ago. The old account settled long ago. I can look down the barrel of a shotgun and say, hey, buddy, no weapon formed against me can prosper. All you're going to do is get into heaven quicker. I'm still going. I'm still going. I tell you, my bag is packed. My ticket's never been punched. I'm no longer a citizen. I get guilty. I feel guilty about voting. I'm no longer a citizen of this world. I'm a fellow citizen of heaven. But I still vote. I got to vote. I'm trying to keep them devils out. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm really disappointed in our government. I wish they'd get more God in our government. Now, Father, we thank you for the privilege and the blessing, Lord, to stand for your word. Lord, it's just so full of grace. Full, Lord, of your goodness. Lord, we just like David. Who am I? How could I possibly ever deserve the things of God? And yet, Lord, you so freely give them to whosoever will ask. I don't know every heart in here, Lord. I'm just assuming everybody in here is saved. Lord, if there's someone in here that's got second doubts, if there's someone in here, Lord, that's really in the valley of decision and needs to just go on through and get to you, I pray you'll help them today. Help them not to be ashamed. I ask you to forgive them. Help them not to be, fearful, but Lord of faith. I ask you, Lord, to forgive them her sins, save her soul. And I pray they get that victory, Lord. And all these things, Lord, may your will be done. In Jesus' name we ask them. Amen. All right. Anybody got a word on your heart?
I want to thank you.